Blog Talk Radio.
Pause for effect.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, hey, everybody. I want to welcome you to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and we are in the fourth invitation of the five invitations, Discovering What Death Can Teach Us About Living Fully. And when we talk about death, I love to put a little parentheses around that and also put change with it, because that's really what we're talking about, all these things that we can move into and change into, and I think it's just really wonderful. Now go ahead and get my co-host, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
It's raining, it's pouring. Well, I'm living vicariously through Atlanta, but, you know, we're in the middle of a storm.
Okay, we're in the middle of the storm. And Miss Atlanta, how is that working for you? She's in Texas, and oh my gosh, there's been storming all day.
It has been. I woke up this morning. It was very, very dark outside, and it didn't light. We haven't had sunshine all day. It's been raining all day, and if we hear a few booms in the background, you'll feel the whole theme of this chapter come to life as we discuss the calm and the storm. So it's been very calm.
I love it. Yeah. You know what? Thank you so much for just like being willing to live it. You know what I'm saying?
Breathe through it.
Yeah, we could be vicariously with the whole thing that Miss Alana has going on there. So I just love that. So Alana and I were visiting a little bit before the show, and we started talking about the book, and I had to stop her because I just said, you know, because she said, this is my favorite chapter. And I'm like, okay, let's stop a second. You've been saying that about every chapter.
I know.
Exactly. They just keep getting better and better. How can we not?
I do know. And I think that Frank is such a wonderful writer because everything just complements to the next thing. And it's just like anything, you know, when you're learning something and growing, all those things really accumulate to a point of just, I have that new understanding so I can go to this next way of looking at it and being able to be that much more rich and deep in the way that we're talking about all the different kinds of stuff. And I just love that. So with the fourth invitation, it starts out really great where the quote was, rest in the conversation between what we love to do and how we love to be. And that was from David White. And if you don't know David White's work, he's a wonderful, wonderful book. Go ahead, Amy.
Let's just take a minute and be with those, you know, those words.
Right.
Rest is the conversation between what we love to do and how we love to be. Frank Sinatra said it best, doobie doobie doo.
There you go. And I love this chapter because we're going to be talking about keeping ourselves busy as opposed to being in a place where you can allow yourself to be in rest, and how a lot of people are afraid to rest. There's a fear around that. And, you know, if you're basically addicted to work, workaholism and things like that, I'm sure Amy can really address this. You know, she's writing a whole book about that, that it's just something that really need to look about, you know, just like anything else, we can be addicted to a lot of different things. And we definitely can be addicted to busyness and, you know, when we unpack that, what that really can look like. So tonight I wanted to talk about in the Flower Power of Wisdom, we're going to talk about violets. And let's all just kind of close our eyes for a second and imagine a beautiful violet plant in front of you. It's beautiful purple color, and it's got the yellow centers, and there's a little bit of a fragrance. And we kind of like lean in a little bit and allow the flowers to be just really close to our nose. And a lot of people don't realize that violets actually have a special chemical in them that once you smell and you get into your being able to use your nose and stuff like that, it actually desensitizes your nose to smell.
Uh-oh.
So within one sniff, you're basically having that where it can no longer linger. And I think that's a wonderful metaphor for the way we're going to be talking about the calm and the storm and, you know, being in this place finding a place to rest in the middle of things. Because it can seem that when we've got all these things going on around us, that those, you know, moments when we try to be mindful and all that just seem to evaporate so quickly. But yet, if we can be in a mindful place of knowing that, and this too, like in the Buddhist traditions of like, and this too, and this too, and this too, you can always go back to just the sweetness and the fragrance of something that can linger. I mean, how many perfumes and just different things, violets are been used since the times of the Roman Empire for providing just a beautiful fragrance, you know, floral waters. You know, whether it was in bathing or in something for just, you know, putting ourselves in this place of beauty and being able to really look at that. And one thing I really love about violets as well is they're very good at being adaptable to their wherever they're going to be planted. And there's over 500 varieties of plant of violets. And the adaptability, I think, is such a key thing that we're going to talk about, too, with this invitation of being able to be in the middle of things. You're planted in the middle of this situation. You know, how are you being, you know, able to adapt? How are you being able to take all the resources? And I really think that violets really kind of have that calm in the storm. They have a place where they can rest in the middle of wherever they are. And I think that's really a key thing when it comes to the adaptability of having things. And I love that, you know, violets, gosh, think of all the beautiful colors that they come in, you know, that really deep, beautiful purple, the violet color, the lavenders, the whites, the pinks, and then you've got the variegated with all the different colors that come with it. And it's just such a very delicate, sweet flower. Its fragrance and also just in its expression of the way that it comes out and folds onto itself again, you know, coming from the center, folding back out in its beautiful curves and things like that. So just take a little time to be able to, you know, have a violet around you and even admire its leaves, because its leaves are just so soft and just expressive in the way that it holds its green and its deep knowing of things. So be with the violet have it be something that can teach you to be in a place of just resting in the middle of things.
I find it really interesting that, you know, violet, of course, is a color, but then I never really thought about it coming in all these different colors. And after you said violet, I, you know, looked, and they are different colors other than violet.
And they're to me, I don't know if you're familiar with lambs ear, but like there's a couple different flowers plants that are called lambs ear, and they're just so soft to the touch. And violets are like that too. They have a very kind of a velvety coating that they have, like little bitty baby hairs that are on the leaves that are there to protect it and to create kind of a soft place of landing for things. It's just really good. So how about you, Alana? Anything come up for you with that sharing?
Well, I just, you know, like we had said before, it's a flower of resilience. You know, you said it had been around for so long. You know, that you noticed that we had been having all these flowers that have been ancient flowers. And it just kind of reminds me of our, you know, the struggles that we have in life are not new, right? They're old. There was a hilarious little a video out by this comedian, and he says, are you stressed out? Well, you're not special. And it just made me laugh so much, because it was like, yeah, I guess you're right, man. Like, okay, yeah, not special. You know, yeah, these are not, there's nothing new here, you know? So we just have to, like, our response to it is what gives us that, you know, is what we can make, you know, we can make the change to how we respond to things. So that'll be the difference for us.
Yeah, I love what Frank said on, because, you know, he kind of gives a little bit of an introduction to the fourth invitation, and he says, this place of rest is always available to us. We don't need to turn toward it. It is an experience when we bring out our full attention without distraction to this moment, to this activity. With sincere practice, after some time, we can come to know the spaciousness as a regular part of our lives. It manifests as an aspect of us that is never sick. It is not born, and it will never die. So I just think that's something when it comes to being able to take that subtle fragrance of life and that gentle expression of life like the violets have and have to know that it is spacious. And there's an aspect of that that's never born and that never dies. That's very sweet.
My biggest thing in this was just, I loved this. So I've always had a saying that where I say, I'm either detail-oriented or I can either be detail-oriented or I can multitask. There's all, you can't have both of those in the same employee, you know, or the same person, because that's just not that's just not possible, and it's asking too much. Most, you know, a lot of employers put that on their job description: detail oriented, multitasker, and you're just like, really? Okay, robot person, basically, is what they're asking for, you know. And I just love this paragraph on page 184, if my glasses read correctly. It says, finding a place of rest isn't about adding another task to your already too long to-do list.
Amen.
Nor does it mean nor does it mean napping more during your work day, though this may prove helpful. It is a choice to be alert, to bring your attention to the moment. Multitasking is a myth that only serves to seize our attention and exhaust us. At the end of the day, at the end of the day, it is neither enjoyable nor productive. Let's face it, none of us have that superpower. We can only live in one moment at a time.
That is huge. And they teach all these classes on multitasking. I've done it because I've been asked to come in and do it. But you really can only do one thing well at a time.
That's right.
Yeah, and if you go back with that a little bit, there's a Zen story that starts the calm in the storm that talks about this monk who was vigorously sweeping the temple floors, and all the monks would walk by and snip at him and say, too busy. And the first monk would cry, you know that there is one who is not too busy. And it was talking about that he is sweeping the floor outwardly, but inwardly, he was performing his daily month duties. Inwardly, he was not busy at all. He was just recognized the quietness and the state of his mind. So there was a part of himself, even though he was actively doing things in the world, that he was resting in the middle of everything.
Absolutely.
And I really love that. Yeah, because we can be busy. We can have activities going on, but we can make an agreement with ourselves that I have that. I have like this little spot in Hawaii that's in my head. Well, I've got a hammock, and the waves are calm. They're coming in, and it's this beautiful sky, and I'm just laying in that hammock, and it's swinging back and forth, and I'm enjoying the breeze. And it's just a part of myself that can go there anytime I want to. Yeah. And I may be, doing whatever, but there's a part of myself when I just gonna. If you're at a stop sign or a signal, and you just stop for a second to see yourself swinging in the hammock, there I am. That's a part of me just chilling out. It's good.
Yeah, and the Buddha said, the middle way, and I think that's where addiction comes in, of all different kinds, and definitely there's an addiction to busyness, and that it keeps us from paying attention to things. What is the middle way? And one of my favorite examples of that, we lived in Nebraska for a long time, and we had lots of tornado warnings and lots of intense storms, which, you have Atlanta there in Texas, and if anybody's had this experience, where it's windy and oh my God, it's crazy, and then all of a sudden there's no noise. It's completely silent. And you're like, wow, yay. And then a couple minutes later, here it comes. So if you've had that
train,
you have been in the eye of the storm, that's what they're talking about, that complete calm, that kind of, I made it. So it's like your Robin said, it could be in your hammock. It can be whatever, but having that space that you can reach, it's in there all the time. We talk about being joy aid, and that joy spot is always in there. I kind of look at it as the internal flame, that connection to God. However that makes sense to you. But what we're talking about here is, how do I actually bring this when I'm doing the sweeping, not waiting till I'm done doing that sweeping all day long and I'm exhausted.
Yeah. And, I'm sure studies have found that if you come from that kind of a mindset of there, because everybody, like I love Alana was talking about, you can't be in two camps. Well, yes, you can. It's just like learning a different way of being able to be, I'm active, but yet passive at the same time. and that sounds like a contradiction, but yet it's a practice in being able to be, you know, using things in just a way that really serves us in a, just a higher way.
And I want you to, we don't have to talk about this right now, but I want to challenge you that being is not necessarily inactive.
That's true.
Right.
I agree
with
that.
I don't want to jump past, but it seems perfectly fit where he talks about that even resting, if you're trying to rest, that you're not resting as you're doing the trying. And I was like, oh, you're killing me. I was like, he pegged me so hard.
Get out of my life. Frank, how did you get in my house?
Exactly.
Well,
I was like, I can't tell you that my...
Yeah. How many people have said, oh, gosh, I was trying to sleep all night?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't try to sleep. Like, oh. You know, you just allow yourself to relax, and, it, you know, and it will come, you know, when it's meant to come kind of thing, instead of forcing yourself to sleep, you know. How many people are like, I'm sleeping, you know, yeah, no. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Yeah.
Well, and I think
so.
Learning how do I get to that calm space when I find myself in that trying, which is so different from this middle, you know, calm state. But most people have never had that experience. So I'm hoping in some of the practices we'll give them, you know, that they'll be able to experience it. Because I think once you do, you start to crave it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the peace? Yeah, and the calm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
I was really
thinking
fascinated
about how... Go ahead.
Go ahead, Alana.
Go ahead.
Okay,
I was going to say, I just was thinking about how you know, I love being around. I mean, we think about somebody who's brought you some peace in your life. Who is that person? What's their characteristics?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are they frenetic? Are they always going everywhere, doing everything, staying busy? Or are they sitting quietly with you, listening to you, you know, taking their time? They're on time. They're taking their time. They are, you know, they example... you know, just smooth calmness. And those are the people that bring me the most peace in my life and that I admire.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I have never been one of those people. I am very frenetic. And so I have a lot of energy. And this has been very nice to, this chapter has just been very eye-opening for me about there has to be a point in the day and the times where you just take that breath, you know, you take the breath, you go to the bottom of the ocean, as he was saying, and, you know, sit among the coral and enjoy the quiet and listening to your own breath. And it was powerful for me.
Yeah, very much of a like, oh, my God, I never really saw it or understood it that way, and have it be something that's a big aha. For me, it was on page 185 when it talks about the that many of us are that fear, you know, the idea of resting. And mm-hmm. I love how it was talking about, you know, we're afraid that we will be forgotten if we're not looking like we're busy, you know. And there's this, such this need of the loneliness and emptiness that surfaces when, you know, you're not so busy that people are seeing that you're making that kind of an effort. But yet with the exhaustion, people are just like, they look at exhaustion and feel about the fact that, you know, they said, you know, people believe that I'm a hard worker. Being overworked and worn out means that I matter. And, you know, people feel sorry for me, and that makes me feel like I'm loved. I'm like, wow, that you have to exhaust yourself to have a sense that you're loved. And looking at it from that way, it says often our exhaustion doesn't come from doing too much, but rather the lack of feeling engagement or wholeheartedness. And it goes on to talk about a secret gratitude when it comes to, you know, looking at that from kind of a martyr position, I think, about like, oh, I have to do all these things so I can be noticed and know what that is. And I thought that was really very eye-opening to see that, you know, and if you can come from that and understand that when you see that happening with other people, like you're saying, can I be that quiet person who's just being in a place who's willing to deeply listen with you? Instead of feeling like, you know, pointing that out, but just understanding I'm sitting with you and seeing that, you know, you're walking through that and I'm just going to be here with you. I think that's such a great gift. That could be such a great gift for somebody. So go ahead, Amy.
Yeah, let me just frame something here. So, we could spend, you know, weeks on this, just one section, and in lots of ways we do. This is really mindfulness practice. On 192, the beginning of the second paragraph, in the Buddhist tradition, we say that obstacles become the path. And so if you can come from that calm place, you can deal with that. And that we cannot always eliminate, and this is on 194, the bottom here, we cannot always eliminate difficult conditions, but we can use our acquired skills to transform obstacles into opportunities. We can be that one calm person in the room. In doing so, we can be a true refuge to others.
Well, I love the concept of becoming a refuge for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, in doing that, right, as you begin, when you've got a child that's you know, hurt or scared or whatever, I'm hoping that you too, your number one thing is to take some nice deep breaths and you get calm, right? Because the calmer you get, the more, when I say, I've watched both of you do it, that you get, the more calm you get, the more they go, oh, maybe I'm okay. Maybe I am okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things, recognizing the pain whenever my child, like if I learned this from group therapy a long time ago, that she said, the facilitator had said, when a child is riding on their bike and they fall down and they skin their knee, and if you say, oh, quit that, hush that crying, they yell more. But if you immediately draw attention to it and say, oh, are you okay? You've hurt your knee. Oh, that looks like that hurts. Oh, yeah, it does. You know, and they process the pain, and then you're like, oh, well, can we go get some, what can we do to make it feel better? You know, like, process it, look at it, come to it, fix it, instead of pushing it down and pushing it away. And that's how, you know, our internal self works as well. Whenever we're hurting, if we push it away and turn away from it and tell it to be quiet and get back on and keep moving, it stays wounded. And that
hear me. Going to get louder,
yeah,
and louder and louder.
Yes, but you can address it better.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going on in the world right now. All these, for centuries, these things that have been suppressed, and now people are finally just saying, "Hear me, hear me, hear me," because you know it's no longer, mm-hmm, "Oh, be tough and like move on." It's like, no, let's own this for what it is. And know that as we can own it, we can change it for something that can be kinder and more compassionate, and more coming from a heart, you know, a whole heart place.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, Amy, are we ready for a mindful moment?
Shall we do something that will help us to be aware? I think that's a great idea. So, to me with the mindful moment on page 189 in the center there, it says, "It may sound complicated, but it starts with basic awareness, putting into practice simple routines." So I'm going to share the routines that I have through the day, and then I want to focus particularly on the 3 o'clock tea time. And I want to invite everybody who listens to this to join us. So what I do in the morning is I reflect. I have different books and things, and I reflect, and I set my intention for the day. We've talked about this in other shows. What I do is I talk to my future self at the end of the day, the one that after this show, and have her turn around and tell me, okay, how did you do well today? How did you be in that being and doing at the same time, and have her help me. And then I have an alarm set for noon every day. There, I call it my breathing moment. So I stop, mm-hmm, and take 3 nice deep breaths. And I try to trick everybody I know into doing it with me. And then I have an alarm set for 3 o'clock. Well, it's really about 2:45. Because my 3 o'clock tea time, I started this with my friend Katie. She and I did the book, the 52 Weeks of Mindfulness, and there was a different practice each week, which was really lovely. It's always good to get a balance buddy, right? A mindfulness buddy, you know, to help you do this. And so that's where that came from. And I'll come back to that, but the 3 o'clock tea time, which I'm inviting everybody to join us. And what I do right before I go to bed is I kind of evaluate, how did the day go? From a loving perspective, I try not to beat myself up, right? I should have done this and I should have done that. But I'm like, oh, what did I learn from that? And then I release one of Kelly's favorites is doing the I love you, please forgive me, I'm sorry, thank you. And, you know, if you need to do that for a part of yourself, then that's a great way to do that. Lots of other great releases. And then Barbara Scheer, a pretty famous career person. She's so amazing, lots of great books. One of my favorite is Wishcraft. That's one of my favorites of hers. And what she talks about is at night before you go to bed, you know, gather your allies. And it could be, you know, people that are really smart in whatever field, that they come to you at night, and while your body rests, you get information that you need for when you wake up in the morning and your next day. So that's kind of fun. So let's come back to the 3 o'clock tea time. So, again, I set my alarm for 2:45, and I can't always do it, you know, quite the way I'd love to, but I can always be drinking something at 3 o'clock and just taking, being mindful. But the idea would be to, it doesn't have to be tea, but tea is kind of fun to do this with, because you find the tea, right, and you brew it, get your one of your favorite cups, and then you kind of smell the tea, and you evoke as many senses as you possibly can. Maybe you play some lovely music. And it can only, I'm talking just a couple of minutes. This doesn't have to be a long time, 5-10 minutes. And then for me, it's imagining other people in the world that are having tea time with me, and sending love to them and being in that moment. So what I want to invite you to do this coming, at least tomorrow, maybe this week, and forever as long as you want to, at 3 o'clock, join us for tea time, drinking whatever you like. And so those are some practices you can try, and find something that works for you. I don't care what you do, but being aware and staying aware is a matter of doing practice, not hoping, not trying. So you guys, what are some of your favorite routines that you like to do to stay mindful?
Who are you talking to first?
Silence.
Silence.
Who would like to go first? Is that, silence, is that one of your practices?
Silence is a good practice. It's a great practice, yeah. Yeah, silence, yeah. I love to do my, when I have time in the morning, I love to journal. I love to do, you know, 3 pages of, you know, just do morning pages, which you write longhand, just kind of see what comes up. And I make my cup of tea every day and just kind of sit there and love to open up my front door and kind of hear the morning. And that's one of the things I love to do. And then in the afternoon, same thing. I love to take a few minutes and kind of do the afternoon tea and just kind of reflect with people and stuff like that. I also like to be mindful in taking a little time every day to play, you know, some kind of a game with somebody. Card game or some kind of a game that really kind of shifts the brain and shifts our relationship and kind of helps us to be in a more playful way with each other.
I like that. Alana, how about you? What are some of the practices that you do?
Sure. So one of them is to obviously read some of this amazing book and take some time. I listen to a podcast frequently, and that seems to really center me and give me that time to just relax and enjoy, you know, but to actually truly rest and not be focusing on anything, not get my brain working, do anything like that. I used to really like to go swimming and, you know, to do some laps in the pool or, you know, some kind of exercise in the pool. I love to do that. But also we've been incorporating in our house, my girls, my 12-year-old and my, 7-year-old now won't go to bed unless they have sleepy time tea with me. And so we have our sleepy time tea moments at night. And that's been very nice. So
yeah, that's nice.
Taking some moments to rest that way.
And I love that your practice doesn't have to be a solo practice.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can do it yourself.
Yeah.
And I think
that's
there should
really
be
important.
Time by yourself. But it doesn't have to always be by yourself.
Yes. And so that we've also done, you know, I do tapping moments, you know, do some tapping. But I try to, you know, I am a bit, that's why I told you, I'm a very frenetic person. I don't know if I've incorporated this kind of practice in my life, before. I used to, one time I went to a counselor and she told me that I needed to do mindfulness and I just thought she was a quack and I didn't go back.
Well, maybe she was. I can't verify or deny.
yeah, quacking it.
It's just so funny to see that, you know, I thought she was quack, I ran away, then here I am, all doing it again,
you
know? So it doesn't go away.
There you are.
Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Well, next, our next topic is going to be mind Mind the Gap. It says, "In my end is my beginning," from T.S. Eliot. So, as always, I'm sure it's going to be Alana's new favorite chapter.
Favorite chapter.
New favorite chapter.
So I look forward to that next week with everybody. So just, you know, the conversation can continue going over the Transformation Cafe on Facebook. We'd love to hear your comments, ideas, and just, you know, how the show is really helping you. It really helps us to know that you guys hear us, and we really love your suggestions and ways that we can be really serving in the highest way that we possibly can, because that's really why we're here, is to make that difference. And as always, I want to thank my lovely ladies for joining us here at the cafe, and we'll see you next time.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.